We begin with a word of prayer. Lord God, open up our hearts and our minds that we might be open and welcoming to all people in your name. Amen. I'm about to make you uncomfortable. It's a Lutheran comfort warning. Look around in the sanctuary and look at people seated around you. Not just next to you, but in front of you or behind you. Look around and see the different people. What do you see? As you look around and see the whole group, what do you see? Well, among other things, you and I are seeing human nature at work. Because we look around, right? And everybody's the same. Right? Oh, yeah, there are differences. There's difference in ages from kids in primary school to, well, much older folks. There are people who are in the midst of their work career, and there are those of you who have retired from your work career. There are people who are working now that are trying to figure out, where do I want to be in life and be in my work, my job, and my family in 10 years? And those of you who have retired saying, I don't want to sit idly by the sidelines. Where do I want to be in the next 10 years? All, obviously, are part of a family. Right? And some of you grandparents, you talk about how much you love to watch your grandkids, even though they run you ragged. And grandparents, what's the best thing about watching your grandkids? You get to send them home, back to mom and dad, at the end of the day. And mom and dads, you love to have the grandparents there to help watch your kids. You love having people that you trust take care of them so that you can have a break. You can have some peace and quiet. Yeah, there are differences among all of us gathered this morning, but we're really all the same, aren't we? As we look around, what we see is human nature at work. It's human nature for people to gather together with those who are like us. We're comfortable with people who are like us. There's a familiarity that we have that draws us together. See, we know what to expect from each other. In fact, you know, there is a very subtle force or means by which a group gets someone to conform. It's very, very subtle, and it often happens when you and I are not even aware of the fact that we do it. See, people who say something or who act differently from the accepted norm of the group tend to be quietly ignored and left on their own. But when someone says or does the right, the acceptable thing of the group, they're embraced and they're welcomed. Human nature. Now, please note that I'm not being critical here. These are not negative comments or negative complaints. It's just human nature. Research is based on volumes of work about how humans interact with each other. Scientists have discovered that there are certain norms of behavior, normal behavior. Birds of a feather. You know, it's that very dynamic that makes it difficult for us to be inclusive. And what I mean by that is to act in a determined way in which we reach out, we welcome, and we include new people. But wait a minute, you say, we do that. And here's the funny thing about doing that. We do welcome new people to the group. We do embrace new people. But they're just like us. They're people who look like us, act like us, share the same dreams and the thoughts. If they fit in the group, then we welcome them. But the reality is that it takes some dedicated, conscious effort to be fully and completely inclusive. You see, one of the things that we are given, and that's what this whole sermon series has been about, one of the things that we are given, when we live out our faith, When we welcome and accept and know that Jesus Christ died for our sins and He was raised again to new life, and when we are granted this new life in Christ, one of the things you and I are blessed with is the knowledge that we're all brothers and sisters in Jesus. Christ has made us one. We're all part of the same family of God, one group, one body. And the Lord calls us to welcome and receive and to include all people. You know, we live in a real diverse world. We have people of different races and ethnic backgrounds, different nationalities. The differences are wide, even to a variety of interests and life experiences and hobbies. Yet with all of the differences that we see in our world, in Jesus we are all one. All people are equal. Now, Jesus taught us this truth in a very extremely radical fashion in our gospel text for this morning. You know, one of the things that's often overlooked when we read about Jesus' life and the things that He's done is we often overlook the fact that so many of His actions were radical. By that I mean radically breaking social norms. Jesus did and said what needed to be accomplished. He spoke the truth in the face of lies that divided people. So we read today a simple story, we think, about Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman by the well. Well, here's the first radical act of inclusivity. That's that Jesus even initiated a conversation with a woman. See, the deep social norm, the thing that was clearly taught, was that men did not speak to an unaccompanied woman in public. Only if her husband or her father was present could he speak to her. Yet Jesus talks. He begins, initiates a conversation. What's even more radical is that this woman is a Samaritan. As it says, Jews hated Samaritans. You see, from a Jewish perspective, Samaritans were not pure Jews. They were people who have been ethnically mixed over years of mixed marriages with the Arab race. But they were also people who weren't worshiping faithfully the practices of Hebrew religion. Over time, they had mixed some of the Judaism teachings with earlier vestiges of pagan religions. So for a Jew, the religious practices made that Samaritan person impure ritually in Jesus' day. So in most cases, it was much better simply to avoid them altogether. And yet here is Jesus talking with her. But one more last, even more radical thing that Jesus does. He offers to her the same water of life that He offers to the Jews and to you and I. He answered, "Those who drink this water will get thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring which will provide them with life-giving water and giving them eternal life." This woman, this Samaritan, this person who was so different, even opposite end of the spectrum different, is given an opportunity to receive God's grace and love. And for us and for Jesus, that's a radical act of inclusivity. Jesus led the way to show us where to go, even if we find it difficult to welcome people who are different from us. We look at the disciples. They were confused. Just then the disciples came. They were astonished that He was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking to her?" Jesus would teach them that the good news of our Lord and Savior's suffering, death, and victory on the cross is offered for all people. Once a man was traveling by train across an Arizona desert. And he was the only one in the train car who actually had the shades open. Everybody else had pulled them down because the sun was so hot and that the landscape was so barren. But he had his open, he was looking out, and he was smiling with glee. Now, the man who was seated across the aisle from him, he got curious about that, and finally he asked, "Sir, what do you see in that wasteland that makes you smile?" He replied, "Oh, I'm in the irrigation business. And I was thinking if we could get water to this land, that the desert would become a garden." That's what Jesus was teaching his disciples and you and I. He wants us to see people as he sees them. Every one of them is precious in his sight. By his divine grace, we are all new creatures. But sometimes we have difficulty seeing that in others. William Easton, in his book Dancing with Dinosaurs, suggests that the dinosaurs who were vegetarians only ate the food that was at eye level. And with their massive appetites, they quickly devoured all the food that they could see. And then he writes, "Still food was plentiful if the dinosaur merely bent down to reach the vegetation. Perhaps the dinosaur's neck was too stiff to bend down to the vegetation, or the dinosaur was too nearsighted to see the vegetation." See, sometimes we get so focused on doing our own thing, our own families, our own activities, our own friends, our own life, that we simply don't see the opportunities that are in front of us to reach out to others. Now granted, Circleville isn't the most diverse community we find out there in the world. There's more people like us than anything else. But inclusivity isn't confined just to people who are different races or ethnic groups. It includes all people, welcoming all people. Now think about it. Jesus suffered and died for you. Jesus suffered and died for the person seated next to you. Jesus suffered and died for everyone in this worship space, this sanctuary. Jesus suffered and died for all people. He has suffered and died because you and I tend to leave out people from the groups that gather. He suffered and died for the chances that we've had to reach out to another person, but we're so wrapped up in our own thing. He suffered and died for the times that we have ignored people, simply because we think they don't fit into our group. It is those acts that sent our Lord to suffer and to die for us on the cross. But that act is backed up by the resurrection. And through that resurrection, Jesus gives us forgiveness. And that forgiveness welcomes us into His family, makes us a part of His family, and makes us children with one another. And it is out of that forgiveness and out of that strength that we call on as we look and welcome and include all people in the grace of God. Amen.